Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The word of the living God upon which we meditate is taken from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. These other words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who once descended into hell to proclaim his victory, dear fellow redeemed, it was at the close of a nursing home service some years ago that a little old lady, as I shook her hand, pointed to the service folder and asked me, "Pastor, why did we say that?" The words at the end of her finger were in the Apostles' Creed, specifically the words, "He descended into hell." I'm glad that she asked me at the time, rather than go back to her room with a question. And so I encouraged her, when she got back to her room, to open up her Bible and to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. I told her that she would read how Jesus in the Spirit went and preached to the spirits in prison. I didn't shy away from her question because what we believe and confess in the Apostles' Creed is taken directly from the words of the Bible. We take our teaching from the Bible, and we believe it based upon what that word says. We show respect to God and His Word when we treat His Word with respect and humbly, simply allow it to speak. That is our goal every time we take up a study of God's Word, even in the worship service. And so we ask that God the Holy Spirit guide us this morning, and we pray. Sanctify us by the truth, O Lord. Your Word is truth. Amen. Have you ever visited someone in jail or in prison? In my time of service as a pastor, I have had occasion to visit people in jail, in minimum security, medium security, and even maximum security prisons. I have to tell you that I always found it very uncomfortable to be locked securely behind heavy steel doors. And I was always grateful when those same doors locked me out instead of locking me in. My purpose in entering into those prisons and into jail was to minister, was to bring the word of God, both law and gospel, to those within who needed it, even at times members of the church. My purpose was to speak the truth, as the Apostle Peter here does. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But it isn't only people who are in jail or who are in prison that need to hear that Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. For we are no less sinners than those incarcerated behind locked steel doors. For this reason, it's important that we remember each and every day that we are here included among those who are called the unjust. Sometimes we have difficulty seeing that truth about ourselves, because our natural human inclination is to grade ourselves on a curve, to give ourselves a break in one way or another, to look at ourselves through rose-colored glasses and look at others plainly, which is why God has given us His law. And he's even written it into our hearts and given us a conscience so that we see that we have sinned. We are unjust before God. If we need evidence, God's law shows us that we have not put God and his word first in our lives. God's law shows us that we have been disobedient to his representatives, whether that be our parents at home or other representatives whom God has placed over us in life, teachers, also mayors and policemen. God's law shows us that when we gossip, we hurt the reputation of others and break God's law. And once we've heard that message, if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God's law shows plainly, and we must confess that we are unjust sinners. And it's then that we sinners need to hear the good news, specifically that Christ was sent to suffer and to atone for our sins. It is Jesus alone who can rightly be called the just, for he is the only example of a human being without sin. He is the only example of one who earned favor with God by his sinless living. And then in a twist that only God's amazing love could devise, sinners didn't suffer, but the just suffered for sins instead of us to bring us to God. And so it is by faith in Christ that whether in jail or in prison or free men and women, we have been made right with God through Jesus Christ. But guilty sinners need to be directed to Christ, who has made all things right, and not to themselves or to their deeds. For Jesus didn't only suffer for sins. The words that follow offer a timeline of sorts, relating to us in a simple way the events that happened on Good Friday through Easter Sunday, revealing even an event that is not recorded in the historical Gospels. For it says, first of all, Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, and after that he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. What happens to human beings at death happened to Jesus when he died. His soul and body were separated. The Gospel writers Matthew and John make a point of bearing witness to that event, telling us, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Soul and body were separated. And Jesus' body remained on the cross until it was taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And it was laid in a tomb on Good Friday before 6 p.m. The partially embalmed body of Jesus remained there in the grave until the first day of the week, the day we know as Sunday, Easter Sunday. But the next related event in this timeline isn't the resurrection of Jesus, but an event that took place in between Jesus' death and his resurrection. It says that Jesus was revived, was made alive. His soul and body were rejoined. While every other sacrifice for sin that was ever given stayed dead, Christ, the one sacrifice they all pictured, returned to life. And then it says he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Let's take a close look at those words. It happened sometime Easter morning after Jesus was revived from the dead that we're told he went and preached to the spirits in prison. What's the prison for spirits? There's only one known to Holy Scripture. In the Old Testament, it's called Gehenna, and we know it as hell. What about purgatory, you wonder? Well, the Bible doesn't say a word about a place called purgatory, which is believed by some to be a holding tank for souls. Purgatory is a fable. But hell, on the other hand, is a very real place that Jesus said was created for the devil and his angels. Not created for humankind. But sadly, the Bible tells us that those who die without faith in Jesus will find their souls in hell until the resurrection, and thereafter, soul and body will reside in hell. So back to the descent into hell. What does it say that Jesus did after proceeding to the prison for spirits? Did he suffer? No. His suffering was completed at his death. Did he rescue Old Testament believers? No. Doesn't say that. Did he give those who were condemned in hell one last chance to repent? No. He did one thing. It says that he preached to the spirits in prison. He brought news of his victory. Now for us today, news comes to us almost immediately from around the globe by means of satellite television and also by the internet. Years ago, news came by the wire, by newspaper or public proclamation. Even earlier, in the Middle Ages, the town crier would stand at the city center and invite the inhabitants to join him, and with a loud voice, he would give the news from around the country and around the world. What did Jesus do when he descended into hell? He proclaimed news. The word that is used here means simply to proclaim aloud, to announce as a herald, like that town crier in the Middle Ages. This isn't the word that means to preach good news. No, that's a different word. Jesus descended into hell to make a public announcement, to announce his victory. When I visited people in prison, I had no authority there. I had no power. I had no keys to come and go as I pleased. Jesus descended into hell as Satan's victor, as hell's conqueror, to proclaim his victory. He descended into hell as the one who holds the keys to the grave and of death. Or if you wish, think of it like this. After great victories, the Roman army would return to Rome bearing the spoil. Victorious soldiers would march into Rome in full array, prodding along defeated king and dignitary. And then the victorious general would place his foot on the king's neck, symbolic of his complete and utter defeat. We should picture Jesus' descent into hell like that. He came to hell to announce his victory and to parade before his enemies. It was the first step of his glorious exaltation. And to whom did he announce his victory? He spoke to the condemned, including Satan and his host. And we're also told here that some of the crowd included unbelievers, even from the days of Noah, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. These were people who had sneered at God's warnings and his promises made through the prophet Noah. And now they are imprisoned in the prison of souls awaiting the judgment. And when Jesus descended into hell, they met their judge, our victorious Lord, Jesus Christ. While they were judged, Noah and his family were saved by the mercy of God. They were saved, you remember, by the ark, or as it says here, through water. We have earned the right. We deserve to be imprisoned along with those. but we too have been rescued by the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. We are saved by means of water, not the water of the flood, but the water of God's mercy, the water of holy baptism, which derives its power from the very promise of God. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. So there you have it, the timeline of our redemption, Easter morning edition. Jesus was put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Spirit, and went and proclaimed his victory to those condemned in hell. And while that announcement may have caused their hearts to shudder with fear, it has a different effect on us, or at least it should. It causes us to sing for joy. And to echo the words of the hymn writer, "For the joy thine advent gave me, for thy holy precious word, for thy baptism which doth save me, for thy blessed communion board, for thy death the bitter scorn, for thy resurrection mourn. Lord, I thank thee and extol thee, and in heaven I shall behold thee." Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.